From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Sherry LaPena, the New York Times bestselling author of The Couple Next Door, is back with her latest domestic suspense novel, Everyone Here is Lying. And trust me when I tell you this book will keep you on the edge of your seat. You could probably read it in one sitting and then get nothing done for your day except having read a fabulous book. Sherry, I am so thrilled to have you on the program with us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
So let's begin with just the premise of this new novel. As I mentioned, Everyone Here is Lying.
Okay. You want me to describe it a bit? It's
yes.
It's about a 9-year-old girl, Avery, who she's a bit of a challenge. She's a bit difficult. And she is sent home from school for misbehavior one afternoon. And she's not supposed to go home on her own, but she does. And her father also comes home unexpectedly that afternoon because he's been having an affair and his lover dumps him. So he goes home to be alone and he runs into Avery, who's also not supposed to be there. And the two of them get into an argument. So they have a bit of a fraught relationship anyway, because she is so mm-hmm. difficult and he doesn't know how to handle her. So they get into an argument and he loses it and he smacks her really hard. And then he leaves, and not that much longer after, it's discovered that Avery is missing. So then the investigation begins. They're looking for this missing 9-year-old and mm-hmm. all eyes, you know, the police look deeply into the family, and it's a bit of a dysfunctional family because the parents are divided about how to handle this difficult child. And the father has secrets, and as the investigation gets underway and the witnesses come out, there are lots of different stories and lots of different lies and people hiding lots of different secrets. So there's a bit of a time lock trying to find the girl in time and also trying to sort out what's really going on this street.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what was interesting to me, Sherry, as I'm reading it, is in a lot of ways, Avery reminds me of one of my kiddos. I have a child who has ADHD. I think that he is a bit challenging sometimes, and it really can I think bring stress into a family, into a marriage that we sometimes don't talk about enough. So I'm so curious about where you got this idea for the character of Avery.
Well, I know a lot of parents. I'm a parent myself. And what strikes me is just how many challenging children there are out there. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people struggling with their kids. They don't all fit the standard, straightforward sort of child. And I think parenting is very, very difficult. And I think it does sometimes set parents at odds with each other because they may not agree on how to handle the child's behavioral issues. So, for instance, in this family, William wants to set boundaries, firm boundaries for Avery. And the wife, the mother, is not so clear on the boundaries. She's not as rigid in her approach. So it's caused problems in their marriage, and the child is she's not understood. People, they don't really understand her. The experts don't really understand her. The parents don't really understand mm-hmm. her. And I just, from my own experience and talking to people, I know a lot of people have very challenging children. I mean, it's not an easy thing to have a difficult child. So I just wanted to have a story that was a bit different, where the child that goes missing isn't this perfect, idealized mm-hmm. child. And I wanted to be a little bit more realistic about what goes on in families. I just wanted to have that gray area so that when the child goes mm-hmm. missing, the police have more of a reason to perhaps study the father and mother.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I have to say, I am not through the book, so no spoilers yet.
No spoilers.
There are a lot of interesting characters in this novel. I would dare say maybe a psychopath or two.
Possibly.
How possibly. do Okay, so how do you write for those types of characters? I mean, do you talk to like criminal psychologists to get into the heads of these folks? I mean, how is that process for you?
No, I don't. I just read about them. I read a lot of books and articles about people who think differently. Some of them are psychopaths. I like to look at the really interesting human characteristics. So I'll read magazine articles. I'll read true stories about psychopaths. I find it very interesting. I really am very interested in psychology.
Well, and I have to say, what I've been enjoying about your book as well is that shade of gray that you talked about that you write in is that, because I feel like I'm reading about really almost anyone that you know, right? Take out the child going missing, but I think it's the complexity of family, right? And even yes. Michael, who is Avery's older brother, he's 12 years old. And oh man, does my heart go out to this kiddo.
I know.
The way you write about him and this responsibility that he has to like, he's supposed to take care of his younger sister, right? So, but also at the same time, he's also like, but mom and dad fight if she does something wrong and I don't. So it's almost like I have to be this perfect child. And you're just, oh, my heart goes out to him because I think that that happens in so many families. When you do maybe have a child that takes more attention.
I think you're right. I think that's often what happens. You might have one kid who's fairly easy to manage, fairly straightforward, and another one who's tricky. And the one who's tricky gets more attention, even if it's negative attention. And then the one child might feel more responsibility and try and be better behaved. And it's fascinating family dynamics. It's quite interesting when you look at all the things that can go on in a family and how one person's character can shape another person's character in reaction. Mm-hmm. So that's what happens with poor Michael. I mean, he feels so responsible for Avery going missing because she went home on her own without waiting for him, but it wasn't his fault. She was sent out by the teacher and instead of waiting for him, she just went home, but he feels mm-hmm. responsible.
Yeah, it's just, I think he is such a sympathetic boy and my heart just went out to him. The other thing that I find interesting in this novel is so much of it happens on the street that everyone lives on, right? As you mentioned, William, one of the main characters, the father in this, he just got dumped by the woman he was having an affair with and they live on the same street. There's kind of, it's almost like it's feeling to me almost like this street has a personality of its own. Was that part of your plan when you were writing the book?
No, I didn't really I don't have a plan when I write the book, but I knew that he was having an affair. I didn't realize when I was writing it that she would live on the same street, but that's what happened. And they all just sort of interconnect because they all live in the same close proximity. So when she goes missing, you know, obviously you're going to want to look at people who were on that street, who saw what. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. At first, mm-hmm. you know, they think she went missing on the way walking home from school, but it very quickly becomes evident that she was actually in the house that day. And then there's all sorts of attention on everybody in the street and what they might have seen and within a certain time frame on that street that day. So it's useful to use a street in a kidnapping or disappearance kind of situation because if she's gone missing from a particular spot, then everybody there is a possible witness.
So as you said, you know, you kind of don't know, right? When you're writing, you said you didn't know if the street would have this character. Can the same be said for when you start writing a book, especially thrillers? Do you know what the ending of the book is going to be? And not just for this one, but I mean, this is your seventh novel. I mean, do you know the ending first and you write towards that ending, or does it happen as you're writing?
Yeah, I never know the ending. I never know who did it. When I start, I don't even know who all the characters are. So I always just start with a couple of characters in a difficult situation, and I take it from there and I just let it sort of grow organically as I write it. So as I write my characters, I get in their heads, I get to know them, and then they do things that, carry the plot forward, and that creates a problem for someone else, and it creates opportunities for me to explore how things might go. And I never have a clue about the ending. And what I do is I just sort of have lots of different suspects that could be guilty. And I just try and complicate things and raise the stakes for all my characters so that by the end, I really have to decide, I reach the end and I realize who's done it, or I realize who the best culprit is. So as I write, I don't know the answer. So I think that's what keeps me writing. I want to find out what's going to happen next, and I want to know who did it.
Well, I want to find out what happens next too. And I have to say, it's been said about you that no one does suburban paranoia like you do. And I have to tell you that, I mean, I'm, as I said, I'm reading your book right now. I physically have to like consciously put it down and go like, go work, go do chores, go pick up kids, all of those things, right? I
That's so
mean,
good
do
to
you have a,
hear.
well, but I mean, do you have a secret that keeps readers turning pages? Because there, not every book does this, and it doesn't mean that it's not a good book, but not every book that I pick up, at least, where I have the experience of I just want to be left alone so I can find out what happens.
Well, when I first started with The Couple Next Door, I set out to write a page turner. That's what I wanted. I wanted the reader not to be able to put it down. And so there are certain tricks as a writer that you can do. You can have, short chapters with cliffhangers, and I do lots of techniques where I use present tense. I write in a very sort of linear way. One thing leads to the next. I don't have long flashback chapters set 10 years earlier that breaks up the action. There's all these, techniques that I use. But the bottom line is I create a story with lots of urgency and lots of questions that the reader just needs to know the answers to. And you keep reading because you want to know what's going to happen. You want to know the answers to your questions. So if a writer can pose the right questions and the right sub questions and have really interesting characters, then of course you're going to read because you're curious and you want to know what's going to happen next. So there's the technical, crafty aspects of it. Pacing and so on, but then there's just the storytelling, the natural storytelling.
Well, I have to say, it is. I'm loving this book. I so appreciate the conversation today. It's been really great. So thank you for taking time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.